Welcome to the pulpit ministry of Christ Community Church, a New Testament-based Great Commission Church, which aims to make, mature, and multiply disciples in community, loving God and loving people, expanding the cause and kingdom of Christ through God's Word. And now, let's join our preacher for the message.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day once again. I just kind of wanted to encourage the moms and kind of look at mothers through Scripture. You know, and my title for the sermon is Mother's Day Through the Bible. Mothers are the ones that God designed to carry life. What a great and awesome responsibility and opportunity. Something that a man will never know what it is to carry a life within you. I mean, I can't even fathom what that is like. But what a blessing from God that they would be the ones, because God is the one who spoke life into existence, spoke creation into being, and now He gives the woman the ability to be part of the creative purpose where this life is being created and built up inside of her, to be a part of that in a very special and incredible way. So Eve is the first mom we look at. One of the points I thought of is, you know, this is kind of dumb, but hey, none of us would have got here without our mom. Can anybody here got here without their mom? No, I mean, it's just, you kind of take it for granted. We all came from, you came from mommy, and she carried you for 9 months. You grew inside of her. She had morning sickness. She gained weight, stretch marks. She gave a lot for you. And we all came from mom. We all have a place of origin inside of your mom's womb. That's a special thing. We got to give her major props for that. We owe them our very lives. Amen. And in today's culture, where so many babies' lives are being taken away, where lives have been snuffed out, you have to be thankful that your mom gave you life. Amen? The other things that moms do as these life-giving beings, they give us siblings. How many of you are only child? Only child? Annabelle? Okay, man, that's not too many in here. I mean, Jordan, yeah, okay, we got Jordan over here. You know, you get, the moms have also blessed us with these things called brothers and sisters, you know, these siblings. So moms, they give life to us, they give life to our brothers and sisters, those that we get to participate in and live life with. So mothers are first, in the first book in the Bible, we see that mothers are the life of all the living. Mothers are the ones that give life, that carry life. But the crazy part is that the very, very first time the word mother appears in the Bible is actually Genesis chapter 2, 24. The first time the word mother appears in God's word. And it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So from the outset of God's word, it's almost to me, I was like, man, moms get it from the beginning that at this time that you have to mother your children, in that real sense of being a mother, is a short and brief time. Although you get to be a mother for the rest of your life and even a grandmother, and the role changes. But what we think about those early years of development and pouring into children, your time is brief because your children are supposed to leave the nest. In fact, it's your job to prepare them to leave. So from the beginning, God's kind of telling you, prepare them for departure, which is a hard thing for moms, right? And dads. I won't just put on the moms. It's hard when the bird's got to fly out of that nest to say goodbye, to have that separation, to leave and cleave, to let that leaving and cleaving happen between you and your child. So from the outset, it's like, oof, heartbreak for the moms. They bond with the child in a certain way. They carry the child for 9 months. They're connected by an umbilical cord. Their kids are actually living and surviving off of the mom's body. So there's a bond there, and that eventually, that bond through all those years is broken, and that child is given to love another in a strong way. So train your children for departure. Make the most of the time that you have. And the other thing just from that passage I would say is that, yes, moms are literally connected to their children in utero, but God calls you to be one with your husband. And I would say of the things that we as parents can provide for our children for security, the greatest thing you can provide your children for security is to cleave to your husband, to be one with him, to provide them the assurance of that bond. Okay, the next time mom appears in the Bible, like I said, we're going through a journey in the Bible of mothers, and I couldn't pick them all because obviously we'd be here all day. So I picked some select ones, but the next one's kind of a bit of a warning to you. From Genesis 27, 13 through 17, if you go to Genesis 27, we're going to be turning the pages a lot today, so get your Bibles, digital or paper. Genesis 27, 13 through 17. And here's a bit of a warning. We see a mom kind of do something in the scripture for the first time that's really just looks like a really, really bad idea. And it says in verse 13, his mother, and this is Rebecca, said to him, "Let your curse be upon me, son. Only obey my voice and go and bring them to me." She's telling Jacob to go and get the stuff that he needs to prepare that secret, you know, recipe and food for him to steal the blessing from Esau. And so he went out and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her son. And you guys know the story where Rebekah is helping Jacob, her son, to deceive their father, Isaac, so that he will get the blessing. And the reason is because Rebekah favors Jacob. And likewise, Isaac favors Esau. And so my warning was never to have favorites among your children. Never to let them believe or think that there are favorites in your household. Because the outcome is what happens in verse 41, where it says, "Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, 'The days of mourning of my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" And so mothers sometimes can bond a little bit more with a certain child. Some kids are a little bit more rebellious. Some kids are a lot more appeasing. But it is vital for a mom not to take sides, not to take favorites, not to make favorites or favor a child. Because the outcome is the same. You will divide your household. You will divide your children. So just a warning to you. Even though some would argue that she had a foresight that God had given her from Genesis 25, verse 23, when he said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." Maybe Rebecca thought that God needed a little bit of help because Isaac was going to give the blessing to the wrong son. Maybe she took things into her own hand. I don't know. I can't read. I would only be speculating at that point. So let's not try to step in and help God with the process that he's already begun, in that sense of if God had chosen the son to be the leader, to be the son that he would use. And I feel like the sister jumped in and helped God in a way that was a detriment to her family. So just be warned. Don't play favorites in your family. So as we continue through the scripture, there's a really important verse that comes up, and here we kind of turn a little bit now toward us, the children in the room, about mothers. What does God's word say about mothers? That they give life, that they have to leave and cleave, they have to leave their children and prepare their children to leave the nest. It warns moms not to pay favorites, and then it tells the children in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, if you want to turn there, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, in the Ten Commandments. One of our kids' favorite verses to memorize, of course, of all time, Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother." Any parents like that verse? Amen. I love that verse. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." As we're traveling through scripture, here is a command for us, for those who are in this room, for those who are, and I really don't think it doesn't really even matter the age, to honor your father and your mother. You honor and follow them differently as you grow older. But the women in this room who are called mothers, who are your moms, they are worthy of honor. And God says so. God is the one who designed the family. He is the one that put it together. And he has said to honor your father and your mother, to honor your mothers. And why? And in Ephesians, we see that there's the only commandment with a promise. Doing so prolongs your life. It's a really good idea to honor your father and your mother, to honor your mother, because it prolongs your life. Jump down in that same chapter. Go to Exodus 21, verse 15 and 17. Exodus 21, verses 15 and 17. And see maybe why it prolongs your life. Back then it was like, for real, it's going to prolong your life. Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Good idea to honor your mom. And whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. So back in the Old Testament, it was a really good idea to honor your father or mother because death might come quickly. In today's world, your mom passes on to you wisdom. Wisdom that could save you from death. And there's some of us in this room who have done some really stupid things, some really dumb things that our moms told us not to do. Anybody ever break one of mom's rules and it led you down a path that led you down a path that could have been deadly? So moms are passing on wisdom. For those of you who are in that stage of your life where mom is still passing on that wisdom as you're being reared up under her house, in her household, your mom has wisdom. She has eyes to see and has lived a life that you haven't lived, and she's passing it on to you for your good, physical good and spiritual good. So honor them. Listen to what they have to say. Don't just consider, oh, here's mom again, you know, giving me advice. One day you will yearn to hear your mom's words again with that wisdom she has to share. So honor her. The Lord gave us a good example of honoring his mother. Think about this. Jesus on the cross in John 19:26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." So Jesus on the cross is honoring his mother Mary. He's going on. He's going to go through this trial. He's moving on now to heaven, but he's still worrying about Mary and her well-being. He's worrying about honoring his mother. And that's what the Word has for us. And now, maybe a little bit of a break, I'd just like to ask you guys now. See, I told you to think about these questions. If you could thank your mom for one thing, and as you're honoring her and you've learned the lessons of life, maybe some of you are older, if you could thank your mom for one thing, for teaching you one thing, what would it be? Being selfless. The rod. All right. The rod of correction. Cooking. The importance of food. Okay. Always trusting Jesus. Affection. Being both mom and dad. Anybody have a both mom and dad? Yeah, we do. Hospitality. You know, there's a lot that our moms pass down to us. Anybody else want to share one before I move on? To be a woman of prayer. Amen. Some of these things were taught verbally, and some of these things were taught visually, right? Some things you picked up from watching. Brother John Rizzo always reminds me, there's a lot more to teaching and passing on to your kids than what comes out of your mouth. Because your kids really pick up more from these guys right here and these guys watching and listening to you talk and what you say and what you do. But there's so much that our moms pass down to us. And I love selfless because if there's just one thing about moms that I find is that they're just from the beginning, from the very, very beginning, just carrying that child, they are giving us an example of being selfless and self-sacrificing. When I get served a plate of food, whatever's on my plate is for me. It's all mine. I've served it for myself. I have no intention on sharing any of it with anyone. You can get your own plate. You can put as much as you want on your plate. My plate is my plate. When I come home, my pork chop is my pork chop. The mashed potatoes are my mashed potatoes. That portion is my portion. Not Kathy. She will actually give parts of her food away to the little chicks and give them their food. And I'm like, you're crazy. That's my food. I'm not gonna. But just things like that, like she would just take less and give more away. And seeing that, you know, your mom, she'll take the smaller piece of protein, whatever it might be, and do with less. How moms care for their children, sacrifice themselves on a daily basis, giving of their time. And so they should be honored because their sacrifice has been great. Something that you really come to realize, I don't know if you all had the same experience, but when you're kind of between the ages of 1 and 20, we'll put it at 20, kind of life is all about you, and you kind of think that these two people who brought you into this world, that they're there to serve you all the time in a sense, and that, you know, they're providing the food, and thank God, and the shelter and all that stuff. But then you get into your later 20s, and you know, you get kind of tired of the nagging and the fact that they provided your own room and your bed and they're telling you to clean it up and all that nagging and stuff. And then you get into your later, you get into your 20s and on, between your 20s and your 30s, and you look back at those two people who used to drive you crazy, and you're thinking, man, those people are amazing. How in the world did they do this? How did they raise these kids and pay for my schooling and pay for my food and keep a roof over my head? Because it's expensive out here. And you begin to realize their wisdom. Man, mom was really right. Dad was really right. These people are really smarter than I thought they were. Yes. So some of you might be in that first group, and don't worry. I just trust that the same thing that happened to me is going to happen to you. That I will come to realize how in the world did my mother and father raise six kids? I'm never making more than $11,000 in a year. How did they raise six kids? My dad, his Social Security paperwork would come in. My dad never made more than 11 grand his entire life in 1 year. How in the world? But by the grace of God, but they sacrifice themselves. And yeah, we get the power cut off every once in a while. So we could go to the youth fair. All right. So now for us adults in here who are in different stages of our lives, because we've had a lot of people get married up in this church recently. Everybody, and let me see the married people. Raise your hand. Anybody who has an in-law? Anybody who has an in-law? Okay. So this little part here is for you, mother-in-laws. Caring for your mother-in-law is honorable and good in the sight of God. When we get to the book of Ruth, Boaz says to Ruth, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before." The importance of loving your mother-in-law and caring for her is a blessing to your spouse. One of the very best things that you can do, and I tell this to the young people as they're getting married, one of the very best things that you can do is to love your in-laws, to love your husband or your wife's family. So men and women in this room, honor your mother-in-law. It will be a blessing to your spouse. It'll be a blessing to you. Your children as well. You will teach them how, remember, they're watching, how to take care of you when you're getting old. When you're going to get into, we're all going to end up in that stage of life. Those who are maybe now in their 40s and 50s, eventually we'll be in our 70s and 80s. How you care for your mother-in-law will also teach your children how to honor and care for their mother-in-law and for you as well as you age. So this is one of the greatest things you can do. Take time to honor your mother-in-law. I love the way the fact that God points that out and honors, yes, Naomi, honors her in that sense when she took care of Ruth. The next time we see a mother come up in the Bible is in the book of Judges. So if you would turn to the book of Judges, and this is a word to some of the women in our church who may be in a different place right now. But in Judges 5:7, if you would turn there. There's going to be different stages in your mothering. There's going to be different stages of life, even your placement between you and your children. I think of our sister Jackie, who's here. She's mostly among us. Her children are grown. They've gone and they've started their lives elsewhere. Some are near, some are far. You don't know where your kids are going to carry you. But the Word of God says in Judges 5:7, the villagers ceased in Israel, they ceased to be until I arose, Deborah. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. And when I saw that passage, again, I just did blue letter Bible, and I pulled up mom, and I was just like going, mother, 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 every time. I just want to see what God's word has to say about mothers. And I thought, here's Deborah calling herself a mother of Israel. Obviously, these are not biological children. But some of your biological children may not be near, or maybe you haven't had any children. God, in His goodness, puts you in a new family called the body of Christ, the church. And there He gives you opportunity to mother and to be a mother to other children, to other people's children, maybe to children whose mothers aren't believers, who need encouragement, who need wisdom. And I just love the way that God does that in His family. He gives an opportunity there for other women to mother women to mother other children as well, and to disciple them and to pour into their lives. And there's plenty of opportunity here in this very church. And like I've said before, I'm thankful for the women in this church who have poured into our daughters and my son as well, but specifically into my young ladies. You know, Patty Salas came back from one of her trips, and she brought my girls some gifts. She brought them some coloring books just as words of encouragement, and I was just so touched. And I was talking to Jalen about this and just telling her, you know, sometimes when you're going through a difficult time and you're praying, you don't know or you feel like God doesn't hear and God doesn't see you. But this is a reminder that I see you. I hear you. And I'm going to send one of my other mothers in that church to come and speak to you and encourage you and let you know, I see, I hear. And that's the opportunity that you have to take. You have to be willing to take the opportunity to pour into somebody else's life, but I don't know if they even get it, but I get it, and I see it, and I appreciate it. I praise God for it, because if they don't completely get it, they're going to get it. They're going to understand. So there's an opportunity for you all in this room. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. The ladies in this church, you have an opportunity, and outside of this church who are visiting with us, you have an opportunity to pour into other people's lives, pour into other young people's lives, and be a mother as well. And then 1 Samuel came up, and I just love this passage because there's Hannah, and we all know the story of Hannah crying out to God. She wants to have a son. She wants to have a child. She's dealing with this rival wife who just can, she's just shooting them out like wildfire, baby, 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 and she has nothing. No baby for her. In 1 Samuel 2:19, it says this, and I just always love this. I just kind of saw this in my mind. And Samuel's mother, his mother, used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Because Hannah had the child and then gave the child to God to serve in the temple. But I love the way it says she made him a little robe. And this past week, there was a crochet team that started up, where my wife met up with Zuni and some other young moms, and they started crocheting and learning how to crochet. And I heard about the stories and those who had a difficulty making those first crochets and knots and stuff. And then we got this video that was delivered to us by one of the young moms, Angela, who was in bed busily crocheting, 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 crocheting. And she said, I've become a crochet pro. And she's beginning to crochet booties for that baby that's coming. And I just think it's special how a mom will go and make things for her children, just like Hannah did. I think of science fair projects when I was growing up. For those of us who were in the public school system, science fair projects are rarely done by children. And the ones that win definitely weren't made by the kids. They were definitely made by mom and dad, but my mom was the science fair helper, right? She's the one that actually put the science fair project together. I know this isn't going to be popular, but Halloween costumes. I grew up doing Halloween, and we didn't have no money. So my mom would whip up Halloween costumes from around the house, create something. But those were just ways that my mom would show that she cared. And I think of my sister Helga and Hilda, my mom was not a seamstress by any stretch of the imagination, but they typically got a Easter dress made by my mom throughout the years. She would make them a dress for Easter. My favorite that I remember that my mom made for me was a Easter bunny pillow that I drooled all over for years. I don't know if any of you have any memories like that. You know, maybe something that your mom did or made for you. Maybe birthday cakes. Cassie's really good at that. You know, some things that your mom just did for you or created for you, a little gift or just small things. Maybe even took you to buy those special things that you liked. But moms just have a way of supplying the needs of their children and being mindful of that. Do any of you have any memories like that you'd like to share? Just something that your mom did for you that was just nice like that. I stole Helga's. I'm sorry, Helga. Something your mom made for you or did for you when you were growing up that you can remember. So this goes to Robert's point about food. Janelle is our southern child. She likes chicken and dumplings. So mom made chicken and dumplings. Mothers have influence. You should never doubt your influence. Sometimes you may doubt your influence as a mother, but mothers have influence for good or for bad. I was hearing this terrible story. This is a terrible story to tell now, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I was reading this terrible story of this 1970s child who was found at the age of 13 when the mother couldn't take it any longer. She was raised in a home. She was 13 years old. The mother and father had pretty much locked her in a room since the day she was born. Her father was in a terrible place of depression. And the mother at age 13, when the girl turned 13, she couldn't take it anymore. And she finally went to the authorities and told, but it was about 13 years too late. And the mother has influence. She could have done something sooner, but she didn't. She waited 13 years. And this child of 13 years could never, ever learn to speak. I learned something in that article that once a certain part of the brain closes off to speech, it will never be reopened. And so then I thought, man, all of you moms in here, especially you young moms right now, the ones with the babies, all that talking that you do, all that silly, and talking, baby, it's a niño, and all, you talk, how important those little things are. Something so simple is so important and critical. If you don't do that when they're little babies, there's a cutoff point. They will never learn to speak. And this one girl that was 13 in the 70s, when they found her, she was the test. It was a theory only up to that point. It was a thought that that you couldn't learn. But this is the child that became the experiment for that case that a child couldn't learn. And she proved it to be true. So a mother has influence even in the simplest of things to influence a life for good, to be able to teach a child or to speak and to give that to them. So even in the simplest things, everything a mother does, we were talking, you've heard words like affection, the things that you remember about mom, her selflessness. I am 47 years old. I can still sit on the couch next to my mom and recline my head on her shoulder and have her rub my head. And it's like I'm going back to that little baby over there in John's hands. Just, I'm back to being a little baby because that's mom. It's that connection. A mom has an influence for good or for bad. It's really in your hands for it to be for good. But it is a powerful thing. You have a lot of power that you're yielding as a mom to work for good in your child. The other thing I would say is that we can learn from Mary when we get to the book of Luke, as we're traveling through the Bible and seeing different examples. I love the passage about Mary when it says that she treasured up all these things in her heart about the Lord and when he was the things that were told to her about his birth and when it came to pass. Take time to treasure things. And maybe in this, if you're in that stage right now when you have the little ones and life is going really, really fast, like Angela, I think of Nancy's Faith, where the days just go by quickly because those kids just eat it up. To take time to meditate and treasure things up. Maybe keep a journal if you're not doing it. Keep a book that treasures things up about your children and how they're learning, how they're growing. So you can look back and reflect on those things. To take time to treasure the moments. Make the most of the time that you have. Because remember, you're kind of preparing them for departure from the beginning of God's word. So this time is fleeting when they're little like this. And it is special. I watched Brother Victor with his grandson. And I had the moment, Elijah came up and he sat up on my lap today during the prayer meeting. I'm like, man, this is so cool. And then he went over to Bernie and he sat on Bernie's stuff like that. And I was thinking, oh man, hopefully soon, you know, we'll get to be grandparents because it's just so cool. This little baby, he's coming up and he's so cute. And it's like, man, it's just so much fun. It's just, it fills your life with this goodness that a lot of times I think grandparents enjoy those grandkids because when you're in the middle of it, you miss out on some of that just sheer joy of that baby because you're dealing with the diapers and the other one hit this one and he took this one's toy and all that stuff and the teething and the fevers and grandparents just get to enjoy the good stuff. Take time, try to take time to enjoy it and treasure it. I'd like to hear from the moms in the room now and just ask you that one question. What did your children teach you while you were teaching them? Patience. Woo! Patience, everyone? To see the world innocently again. Yeah, these are the little reflectors, right? They show you, they're the mirrors. They show you your sinfulness because they bring it out of you real quick. No, but they I believe that the family is that crucible where God is refining moms and dads. And you kind of feel like you got it, right, Faith? You got it together. You're a good Christian. I know how to do this thing. I pray. I read God's word. you know, I'm a good Christian. Them kids come around, they start driving you crazy, and you start losing your witness real soon, real quick. So yes, your children are a training ground, a crucible. So your children are teaching you about your own sin and things that need to be changed in your own lives. Amen. What else? That's a good one. That it's good to say I'm sorry quickly. Don't some parents, do any of you suffer with wanting to say sorry to these little bratty kids sometimes? You know, you've done something wrong and you're like, have to say I'm sorry, but that you have, it's good to say I'm sorry quickly. It's really important to ask your child for forgiveness. It's powerful. A lesson for them and for yourself to humble yourself. In Romans 16, a little bit more just about moms, and again to you who are in the church. In Romans 16:13, it says, this is how Paul is closing out the book of Romans, and he says, greet Rufus, I love that, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. And some of us in this room have been blessed to have spiritual moms in the church. And so I just encourage you again that depending on where you are along life's journey, you have the opportunity to be a spiritual mom. Think about the fact that Paul is no spring chicken when he writes the book of Romans. Yet he is referring to this woman as a mother to him in Christ. And what a blessing it was to be a mother to Paul. This is Paul the Apostle, who God is using and speaking through and teaching and reaching the world through. And there's this woman that he's calling mom. And so she's blessing him and encouraging him and loving him and mothering him. And in doing that, she is putting into him love that is going out as well. She has an influence, the opportunity to influence for good or for bad. And she's using it for good to build up Paul, who is building up the church. She's like this lady in the background, Rufus's mom. You know, who is she? Did you know there was a Rufus mom that had an influence on Paul? You know, she's influencing Paul the Apostle. That is a powerful place to be, to have that type of opportunity to be a mother to Paul. So you don't know who you're mothering, who the next Paul will be. That just might be a young person right now that you're pouring into. Part of that trip to Dallas and seeing this young man who counts Cassie like one of his moms, a spiritual mom. Because when he lived with us for about 9 weeks, the last 9 weeks of his senior year, he was failing out of high school, and he was from a single mom environment. So we brought him into our house, and I was the taskmaster. When I would come home from work, he was in his corner. He better be in his corner of that room doing his homework. I had signs up, work zone, get to work, doing his math, doing his algebra, English, getting all that stuff done because he was behind. What I didn't know, that working behind the scenes behind my back was Cassie providing treats and a good time while I wasn't around. And then around 4 o'clock, George is coming, you better get him in that. So she was doing the spoiling, but she was loving him in that way and getting him through that time in her own way. I was the one that was pushing and she was the one that was consoling and comforting, mothering, right? And now, you know, we go to a graduation. He walked across the stage with a master's of theology. I couldn't get him to finish, you know, basically high school almost. And you think, you know, people poured in. And he even shared with us that day, that night after the graduation, he just thanked us, this room of different people who poured into his life. So you have an opportunity. It is not a small thing. You don't know who that young person is or that young woman is or that young man is. You don't know, like Helga said, you don't know what God's plan is for them. All you have is the now, the opportunity to pour into them. That's what God has given you to do. And for my moms that are in the room that you're bringing up your children, and Alex kind of shared about giving thanks for a mom who would pour into him and be a discipler. Moms, you have the opportunity to disciple your children. If dad's not doing it, then yeah, you might have to step up to the plate and do it. And that's okay, because somebody's got to do it. You have an opportunity to disciple your children, and hopefully it's a team effort, but you have an incredible opportunity. You have them more times of the day than even dad does, and you have an opportunity to pour into them God's word, a love for Christ, a love for Jesus, that Faith would say that about her mom, which is totally true if you ever meet Carol, but that she taught them a love for Jesus. It is your opportunity to pour into your children. And this is now, by this time in the scripture, we're in 2 Timothy 1:5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Paul writing to Timothy, listen to who the influencers are in his life, his grandmother and his mother. I had a grandmother like that. I was blessed by God to have a grandmother like that. You can be a mother and a grandmother like that, that pours into a next Timothy, a leader in the church, or whatever God may choose to use that person for. But it is your opportunity, it is your responsibility that God has given to you, whether you would take it or not. I'm just going to close this time and just tell you to give your children life. And here's a burning moment for me. Here's life broken down. Give your children love, and that you do really well. For the most part, I think moms are just sometimes better at that. They're more tender in that regard. But give your children love on a daily basis. Give it to them unconditionally, like they love you and admire you unconditionally. Give them love. Give them instruction. Don't miss out on the opportunity to pour into them and to build them up and to encourage them in the Lord, even if they seem like they're not listening right now. Foster unity. Don't divide your household. Don't divide them against one another, and don't divide them against their father. Foster unity. Work in the Spirit to foster unity. And lastly, edify your children. Build them up. Give them a firm foundation to stand on in the Word, and encouragement so that they can head out and take on the things that are out there in this world, that build them up with your words, with those little reminders that you do, with those hugs, the special foods, the surprise dinners, and just the little things that you do, the special things. They seem so insignificant at times, but they are powerful. They stick with you. I mean, Bernie's almost, what, 70 now, Bernie? And he still remembers the surprise dinner. No, he's 57. He's only 10 years my senior. But he still remembers that. And when he says it, his face lights up. Something simple. Edify your children. Build them up. Let them know that they are special to you. That they are special to someone. And that's what I would leave you. Give your kids life. Love, instruction, foster unity, and edify. Let's pray.
Christ Community Church is a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting, and Bible-saturated body of believers who love God and love people by making disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information on our ministry, go to our website at www.christcomchurch.org. That's christcomchurch.org.